Here is Richard Harkness.
Good evening. There is growing doubt in Washington this evening whether we have really beaten the Japanese. Putting it another way, there is a growing doubt in the capital tonight whether the Japanese know they are defeated. Japan has agreed to the Potsdam Ultimatum, that's true. And by letting the Japs keep their emperor, we have saved as many perhaps as 1 million American casualties. We've saved as many perhaps as 250,000 British casualties. But to many officials here, the news coming out of Tokyo tonight is most disquieting. Now let us look at this news tonight, item by item. Let us piece it together and see exactly what the Japanese are up to. Now first, there's that delay by Japan in getting to Manila with its representatives to meet our general, General Douglas MacArthur. For some reason, good or bad, this is another one of those bits of Japanese strategy of delay. It's the same kind of tactics, remember, they used in December 1941 while they were preparing for Pearl Harbor. Well, anyway, General MacArthur's accepted their explanation. He's giving the Japs additional time, so we may dismiss this bit of news for our purpose this evening. Now, second, however, Emperor Hirohito is putting together his new so-called cabinet of peace and reconstruction. The new premier, named by Hirohito, is General Prince Higashi Kuni. Well, this man, who now heads the new Japanese government, is the cousin of the emperor. But more important to us, Higashi Kuni is one of Japan's directing wartime generals. According to one source here in Washington, he was reported during the war to have threatened to try and then threatened to put to death American airmen. So if Japan has any war criminals at all, it would seem that this Higashi Kuni might be high on the Allied list for trial, for a death sentence, and for execution himself. So by putting Higashi Kuni in charge of the new government in Tokyo, Hirohito has done much the same as if Hitler had made some Nazi war dog the head of Germany's post-war government. Then, significantly, instead of bringing new Japanese figures into his government, this Japanese general took several key men from the government of Premier Suzuki. He was the man, you know, in charge of Tokyo during much of the war. For instance, General Mitsumasa Yonai was Minister of Navy under Suzuki. Now, he is the new Minister of Navy in the new government. Now, it is difficult to see why the defeated Japanese need any Minister of Navy at all. Certainly, we're going to take away what little Navy they have left. Well, the hope is, therefore, that General MacArthur will wipe out this new entire cabinet and use Hirohito alone for his puppet. But certainly, when the Japanese think that they can keep on a general who fought us as premier, if they think they can keep on a man like Admiral Yonai as Minister of Navy, or even have such a cabinet post at all, they do not realize that they've been defeated. They fail to realize they've been whipped. Well, more upsetting than that, however, to many observers here, is the new propaganda line Tokyo is taking to the Japanese people. Now, we know now that the Japanese warlords, like the Prussian generals in Germany, have long had ambition for world conquest. Out of these Japanese, as to the Germans, one war is only an incident in their long-range plan. Now, with that thought in mind, we find that immediately after Hirohito's decision to surrender, Japanese home propaganda took a new and took a significant turn. Now, first, the resigning Japanese cabinet, the war cabinet, issued a special statement to the Japanese people. The Tokyo warlord said this. They said that we, the cabinet, here repress our tears of grief and dare to request our comrades to seek this revenge. Now, there's no elaboration of that statement. At least none was recorded by our Federal Communications Commission. But after our knowledge of the Japanese, this meaning seems plain. The cabinet, forced out by defeat, was not thinking about surrender. It was not thinking about the reconstruction of a peaceful post-war Japan. It was thinking about revenge. Revenge that can only mean a Japanese victory in World War III. Now, this, ladies and gentlemen, is not our only clue tonight to such thinking in Tokyo. Domei, the official Japanese news service, reports the reaction of the people upon hearing that their emperor had called off the war. Domei says this. It says that practically all were filled with awe at the thought that they had failed in their duty to His Majesty and had caused His Majesty grave concern. Well, there, in effect, the Domei agency, the mouthpiece of the Japanese government, says that the Japanese people realize now that they lost the war for their emperor, that they had failed him. that certainly carries an implication. It implies that sometime later on, the Japanese people should prepare for another war, and next time, that they should not fail their emperor by being defeated. Now, you'll recall, of course, that when we dropped our first atomic bomb on Hiroshima, the Japanese radio, the Japanese press, both attacked us bitterly. We were accused, of all things, by the Japanese, we were accused of being barbarian. Well, today, the Japanese press and the Japanese radio changed their tune. The shift came as if by order. From attacking us for the atomic bomb, the Japanese reaction turned to one of respect. Now, here's a direct quotation taken from the Tokyo radio tonight. Rather than accuse those who used the fateful atomic bomb, it will be more Bushido-like, I'll get that phrase, it will be more Bushido-like to give due credit to the scientific superiority of those who were capable of producing such a weapon. The Tokyo radio adds this line. It says that it would be much to our good, that is, much to the Japanese good, if we can accuse ourselves of being so incapable of producing the atomic bomb. The Tokyo radio then leaves this thought with its defeated people. The Japanese must now learn to look into the face of reality. There is reason for victory just as much as there are causes for defeat. The Japanese said that they had failed to gauge their limitations and knew not enough of our adversary. Now, here again, we are at liberty to interpret the Japanese spirit in defeat. The Japanese say now that they accepted our terms laid down at Potsdam because of our atomic bomb. Now, having surrendered, they tell their people that it was their own fault because they did not develop such a weapon with which to smash us. Now, certainly, there is no repentance. There is no feeling of war guilt there, only the plain determination that next time, Japan will come up with some new secret Japanese weapon. So, as we survey the Japanese national feeling at this time, we are allowed to draw two broad conclusions from Washington. And the first conclusion is this. First, the Japanese have been able to save, at least for the time being, the political structure of their country built around the emperor. Now, they used this political structure to put in a new cabinet today led by an alleged war criminal. Then the second conclusion. Second, instead of feeling any sense of guilt, they feel they lost the war only because we were the stronger. The implication is, the Japanese believe that they have now a breathing spell. They have time in which to build new war strength for themselves. Well, today at the White House, we put this question of Japan's very obvious desire for revenge to President Truman. The president obviously has been pondering that question himself ever since the Japanese surrender. I'm sure he's pondering it because he answered so quickly when he said that a desire for revenge was a natural reaction for any conquered nation. But, he added quickly, the Japanese will not have a chance at revenge. Then, not as a threat, merely as a statement of fact, Mr. Truman told us that we are still turning out atomic bombs. The three plants which produce those terrible city busters are still operating. So the warning the president served on Japan by that announcement is clear. Any treachery, any diplomatic funny business will bring quick death and destruction on the Japanese from the sky. There are this evening three other factors which back up our determination to... There is first the personality of General MacArthur. If any man has a reason to hate the Japanese, that man is Douglas MacArthur. So military sources suggest here tonight that the general will really rupture Japan's nose in those peace terms. He may make the Japanese sign on the dotted line right in the Emperor's Imperial Palace in Tokyo. Now, this, of course, would be an ironic reversal of the elegant Japanese boast made early in the war. You remember that Admiral Yamamoto, then head of the Japanese fleet, said in 1942 that he would dictate peace terms in the White House in Washington. Well, Yamamoto saved face by being killed in a bomber the next year. So, by making the Japanese sign in the Emperor's home, General MacArthur would drive home to Japan that we mean business. The second factor here is the announcement of the size of the Allied fleet riding at sea just off Tokyo tonight. Just 1 hour's sailing time from Tokyo, we have 133 American and British warships ready for action in case of any sign of any Japanese double cross. And third and finally, we're told this evening that when our troops go ashore on the Japanese homeland islands, that they will go fully prepared as if they were making an invasion. Now, that means that each man will carry full battle equipment. It means that these men will go ashore accompanied by tanks. Overhead, they'll have an air cover of fighting and bomber planes. Then the American and British fleet will stand offshore ready to shell the Japanese coastline. So, forewarned, we are taking no chances when we send our men to Japan. But for the main point of the news tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the Japanese surrendered after two samples of our new atomic bomb. Still, differing from Germany, the Japanese do not know what it means to have their home army defeated. They do not know what it means to have their homeland invaded. So, within a matter of hours after surrender, the Japanese warlords are preparing their people for another build-up looking to World War III. And for us, that means only one thing. We must stamp out Japanese militarism for all time. This is Richard Harkness saying thank you and good night until tomorrow.